Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Each week on the podcast, you'll hear stories and tactics from experts and influencers who will provide you with actionable steps to transform your business and your life. I'm your host, Larissa McClemon, and I help salon owners move from stress and overwhelm to lead a life of freedom and profit by implementing a strategic framework to grow and scale their business. So wherever you are in the world, I want to officially invite you to join me in this episode and make an important step in your journey towards more freedom and more profit. Almost every salon owner starts off as a hairdresser or therapist. Well, what does this mean, do you ask? Well, usually it means we go into owning a business blind with no idea of how challenging it might be and making lots of mistakes as we go. That was certainly my journey. But you know what? That's okay. In this episode of the podcast, I'm chatting with Steve Cawthon. Now, most people know him as Stevie English. Steve is a salon owner like most of us, and he admits to having made every possible mistake. Steve's salon, Stevie English Hair, has an unmissable personality that so clearly comes from his own uniqueness and identity. Steve believes that his brand culture and identity have been the key to his success and says that the brand is what people buy into. We chat about how to stay consistent in your branding, how clarity is vital in order to do this. Steve shares his tips on how he manages his team of 18, which includes strong values around education, goal setting, rules and regulations, and of course, knowing the numbers. So let's dive in and meet Steve. Hey Steve, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast again. Pleased to have you back.
Thank you very much, Larissa.
So I was just saying to you before, but I need to reiterate, your episode was one of my early favorites. And I think mostly because I just resonated so much with your approach, the things that you said. We've had great feedback on that podcast. So I'm on a mission to invite the best episodes back, hence having you back. So thanks for returning.
Thank you, firstly. I think all of us in business fumble our way through. It's nice to think, after 12 years of being a business, that we're doing something right. But you know, I think for anyone that's listening, it really is fumbling, and I've made every mistake possible. And but you have to stay true to yourself and what you believe in. So
maybe that's why I resonated with it, because I too have fumbled a lot of. You learn from the school of hard knocks, right?
I think, and you hear all of those things, you get knocked down 13, you get up 14, and then really that is the only way to do business.
For sure. All right. For those that don't know you, who you are, how you got to be doing what you're doing, do you want to start with just giving us a bit of a high level overview of who is Steve?
Okay. So Steve Cawthon, originally English, as in born in England. And moved to Australia in 2001. I started hairdressing in 93, which makes me quite old. So I've been hairdressing 25 years. I own a salon called Stevie English Hair here in Sydney. And I have 18 staff. I have had multiple salons. So we did at one point have two shops, and then we've come back to one. I am open to doing it again. So there's all of that sort of stuff. I am an international artistic director for Matrix, which means that I spend, it works out about 1 week a month somewhere in the world, educating and the likes. I also he gives me the voices. I'm an ambassador for plenty of brands. So, and whether that's EcoHeads, Glam Palm, Accent Edges. But my real passion, I guess, well, there's two real passions. I'm a colorist, so, and that's where my skill is in coloring hair. And then the second is business and running and making profit. So I did that, a quick rundown of me without sounding too pompous or too much of an arse.
So one of the things that you do really well, and I know you're proud of, is the culture that you have inside of your business, building a team culture. You've got great retention with your team. And it's something that I know a lot of salon owners struggle with. So I really wanted to bring you here to talk a little bit about that and share some of your wisdom. So tell me a little bit about, like, what is it that helps you, or what is it that makes you great at having a good team culture?
Okay. So firstly, I think when I went about opening Stevie English Head, and if you do hear any background, we are actually upstairs in my sort of cell. I'm trying to hide away, but there you will hear the odd hairdryer or hair vac or something going on. I think when we started Stevie English Head, I had quite a specific goal, and that was in creating a brand straight away. And I think that a lot of us hairdressers, we are hairdressers first and foremost, right? We train in colouring hair, styling hair, cutting hair, but we don't train in or think about what we're going to put out as in a brand or a thing. So a part of my culture really was in really dialing down and really looking at my brand, because ultimately, and in today's world, in 2019, people buy brands. And so I think it's really important from a cultural standpoint to have a really strong, definitive brand. But also understanding it. What does it mean? What does your, and I'm not talking about just your typefaces and the colors that you use, but it's also what it stands for. What is your approach on social media with that? Because you need to resonate now with clients and staff, because ultimately what you put out on social media is a form of advertising. It's a form of trying to entice staff to come and work for you.
So, Stevie, would you say that creating that brand culture, where did yours originate from? Like, is it part of your story to,
It would be a part of my story and a part of, so my surname is Cawthine. So, and if anyone who's got an unusual surname or something, and when you go to a bank or you go somewhere and they go, oh, how do I spell that? Or hi, Mr. Cawthine or Cawthini. And so, you know, and it's one of those ones where I was very aware that I didn't really want that as my name on a window or on a door, but because people go, what is that? And then and when I arrived in Australia, I realized that for whatever reason, people seem to like English hairdressers. So when I started my business and my brand, I was looking for something quintessentially English. And then when I came up with Stevie English, and my friends in the UK when I was a kid called me Stevie, but as I got older, I'd moved to Steve. And now everyone calls me Stevie again. So I actually love it. Then it was quite easy to then go, okay, we're going to play on the English. And if you can see, for those that are listening, my wallpaper is in the background, and which is a massive part of my brand.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
So really was playing on that English stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So how does that part of the story actually come into the culture? Like, what is it actually that's happening in terms of the team? What is it that's happening inside of the business that brings people together around
this? Well, I can't hire just English people. I think having a strong brand foundation firstly gets attention. We started in 2007, and I guess imagery stuff really helped put us on the map. It started, you know, the hair that we created helped, but the people want a secure, cool looking environment to go into, and I guess that is inadvertently what we had done in creating a strong logo, a strong brand essence, and understanding, and again, and I will talk a little bit about brand, just understanding what your brand is. So,
what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And your personality can 100%. And I think, Larissa, that's a great thing, because I think in anything you do in life, you have to understand what you like and what you don't like. And even if you're talking about your client's hair color when you're coming in, it's what they like, but it's just as important to know what they don't like, because there's so much in that. So, so understanding your brand's values and ethos. But when we talk about brand values, that's also what's going to come into team culture as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when there's clarity on what that is, then it makes it easy to uphold people or manage people to that, because this is what it is that we do, and clearly this is what it is that we don't. And when you've got clarity around that, it's easy to manage people to that. It's the lack of clarity that is when we have challenges, I think.
100%. So I would say the first time, and I don't know if this is, this would probably, let's go into, say, so if I said number one is all about brand in culture, number two would be, let's say you have five staff. So when you start off, I think I started off with two staff, me and two others. And I wasn't, so I think when there's three of you, the conversations are quite easy. And I think because it's just you guys and, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that. And I think, but as you start to grow, you need the conversations get a little bit more blurred, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that's when you really need to lock in your team values. And as a leader, and there's plenty of leaders out there, and there's plenty of ways of leading people. I would rather do it as a team. And my leadership style would be all around, I'm not the boss. I'm not someone who will stand up there and do this, do this, do this. And I'm more of someone that let's do it together. And that's really my style, because I wouldn't ask someone to clean the toilet if I wouldn't clean the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, that's what works for us. And I promise you that anyone who's listening, if you were to meet my bunch at Hair Expo drunk on a Monday night, you'd be frightened. They are a very, very loose rabble. And maybe that says more about me than it does. But I would say that, you know, we've been open for 12 years, and I have two staff members that are on 11. I've got one that's on 10. I've got 9, 8, 7. And the shortest are my assistants. My head colorist has come all the way through our academy, our system, and is our number one, our top earner. She's what we call our top dog. A very pretty girl, but she's top dog. She makes the most money in our business. And we're very open about those sort of things as well. I digress slightly, but so let's get back to values. And values are things like honesty, trust, da 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 da. And I wrote out, and I've got lots of sheets of paper of values down, and we handed them out. So when we got to five people, that's when we first did it. And now we probably do it about, about 15 months ago last time. And that was the last time someone new joined us, really. And then it's about, and those values can change.
Mm.
On ours, education always comes up. People want education. They want that trust. In ours is fun, right? So, but everyone's salon environment is going to be different, right? I don't expect, the salon next door to me to be exactly the same. And it shouldn't be. And so listening to me, you can't go, well, Stevie's is fun, so our salon should be fun. And I've got lots of really good friends who have great salons, and I don't think fun would be in their, and very successful, but I don't think their fun would be necessarily in their values. You know, theirs might be hard work. Theirs might be dedication, and dedication's in ours as well. Teamwork is in ours. So we have five. But those values, you straight away have something that someone's accountable for. So if everyone signs what those values are, once we've worked at it together, you know, someone goes, oh, you know, I'm more collaborative, and I think collaborative is better than teamwork. And you go, okay, well, how about if we have teamwork, but underneath a small heading is collaborative. So we work together, you know, so there's, yeah, there's definitely ways of bringing more in. But for me, that is 100% why we've been successful in our business in around teamwork and the team culture.
Education was one that came up for you too, also having a strong culture or value upon education. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think Richard Branson says it best in terms of, you know, what if I train them and they leave? What if you don't train them and they stay? And for me, that resonates really, really, really highly. I think I want, and in a world of social media where you see these great hairdressers who are good at one thing, and I love that, and I love to see someone who's really good at one thing. I would say that my staff are really, really good across the board, and I have no qualms in giving them a creative color to a really strong, sharp line haircut to, and that's down to my team, and you know that's what we believe in is in really, really good hair.
I'm pleased you brought that up, actually, because we are in an era where we need to be seen as specialists or need to be seen or need to be really good storytellers around our brand positioning or who we are, and like you say, your brand culture or your brand story. And it doesn't have to be about one hair technique or one hair specialist. There does need to be a strong story, albeit, but... interestingly enough, how I came across you or found you in the first place was your brand culture, your look. You have a very strong look that you put out into the world, and it's very clear and recognizable. So it doesn't have to be that you're blondes or you're cutting or you're this or that or that you need to specialize down to a niche, but there is a strong story and a strong thread across what it is that you do. It's clear that it's from you, my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, well, thank you, and that would come down to brand, and it would come down to consistency.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think it's really easy to mess up a brand, but so really, it's about understanding your brand again, and it's about consistency. So for us, I won't let the guys. Sometimes they complain that the lighting's not quite good enough for their photographs. They want to take them outside, but that's not on our brand wallpaper.
Yeah.
And it's just as simple as that, that if you were to let one of your team members do that and go outside and take the photos, all of a sudden it doesn't look like you, it doesn't look like your salon, it doesn't look like your, so it changes.
Yeah.
I think in business, I'm always open to change and we have to change. But I think that there's certain things that you can't change. And so, you know, to be consistent is the, I guess, a goal in life. But, you know, in business, it's really important as well.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're going to change that, it's with intention and it's with purpose and there's a clear direction or strategy to do so, but it's not willy-nilly.
My best example for that would be Coca-Cola. Everyone recognizes the typeface. They recognize the color. Yes, Coke Zero is black, but you know it's Coke. Right, the opposite to that would potentially be Pepsi. And over the years, Pepsi have changed their logo a lot. Yes, they've done it with intention and they've done it with those things. But I think that that's a really great analogy, and they've done it with intention and you know why they're doing it. And they bring on a superstar to reinvent. And that's Pepsi's thing. Coca-Cola's is the consistency, and it's that's fantastic. And for me, I love, you can, I don't know if you can tell, but I really like brand.
You do, and you're good at it. Maybe that's why you're good at it. You don't see each Pepsi can designer coming up with a new design and doing it differently every time, hence not letting your team go and do things differently. And I really love that you've brought up consistency. And when you've got clarity around what you are and what you're not, you can manage your team to that, because sometimes it's hard to say no. But you've got to have a why.
100%. Absolutely. I really believe in having a team book on rules and regulations. I've got all the rules and regulations. If I was to completely adhere to it, I probably wouldn't have staff. But I think there's the leniency in around it and go, look, you know, we did say, no hats, you're wearing a hat today. Is it because your hair's terrible? Because if it's terrible, I don't want to see, you know, that's 2 days in a row you've come in, and 5 minutes late. Why? Is there something going on? You know, and it's asking those questions. And I think, I think every business owner, every salon owner would know those challenges. And they would also know, I believe in, and I guess it's like, you can't win all the fights, but you want to win the war. So, your aim is pick your battles. Okay. I'm going to let that one go because it's not important, but I'll put them up on that because then I can bring them back to that and go, well, there's this and this. And then go, I've let you go, but here's why I've let it go. And then, I guess strategy around managing people is really important.
For sure. You made a really interesting comment to me before around you can't expect people to be you. I really would love it if you could share that story.
Yep. And I guess this is, and for everyone who's listening, I get all of the attention potentially, but my wife and I are the yin and the yang. Obviously, I'm the looks, but she's the brain. And if you've seen my wife, she's 6 foot and beautiful. So she really is the looks and the brains. But I've obviously got just the gob that talks a lot. So, it works. But we have a sort of saying that we preferred place to work. Is one of our sayings. You know, we're the only people that aren't going anywhere in our business. And I see on a daily or when I'm educating that people are so worried about their staff leaving, right? And for me, that's not something I can control. Mm. So I wouldn't worry about it. And I'm very good at understanding what I can control and what I can't control. So and I digress slightly there, but round peg square holes, right? People can't be me. Right. And so you can't expect them to be you or be me. And so people aren't going to look at your business the way you look at your business. People aren't going to look when you walk into the salon and look at the mirror, how you look at the mirrors with that smear and get. So it's again, if for me that it's worrying about stuff that you can worry about. But, I think one of my favorite sayings is worry gives you cancer. And I don't know if that's true, but, there's so much stuff that you can't control. And if you can't control it, let's not worry about it.
That's right. Because actually how much it's spinning around in your head has no impact on the outcome.
Oh, 100%. So, and I call it the head miles. When people start doing those, they start running the marathons up there. That's, and often it's not doing anyone any good, which is why I exercise. It's why I surf, and for, I guess a top tip I would give to any business owner is that you need to, get out of your business and, walk, whether it's walk your dog, run, surf, go to the gym, because that sort of stuff, yoga, the breathing, all that sort of stuff is really, really good for the mind and clarity. And often I get a lot of sense of purpose after I've done that.
For sure. It's in the white space that I think we can process the information and get clarity on what's going on, other than moving the blood and the brain and the,
for sure. All of the good positive stuff around it. And I guess in culture as well, the one thing that I haven't spoken about is goals. And I'm really big in goal setting, personally. If you were to see how staffed my goals are, and in terms of weekly, and that means, on the amount of alcohol I drink to the amount of exercise I do to the amount of surfing, it's really ticked off each week. And it's all, and if I'm minus 1 week, I've got to try and up it the next week. And I've got it around trying to be a better father, a better husband, trying to cook more, to do these things, just because I think that you can then become accountable. And if you can set small incremental goals, then your bigger goals become better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I like it.
But in a team culture thing, I think it's really important to create a goal setting culture as well. And in terms of from being an assistant to becoming a director, how do you do that? And you need a pathway, a career pathway. You need to make sure that it's, again, consistent, but you also need to make sure that it's very easy or attainable. So it's not easy, but there's goals you have to do to go from an assistant to become a new talent. So in our shop, when you come off the floor, you become new talent. And then from a new talent, you go to a stylist. From stylist to senior stylist to director. How that comes is all financial. It's all around goal setting. It's all around number of clients, retention, color, treatments, products sold, and services. And each one goes up. And that there is a career path. I really dislike someone, and if you do it, it's not, it's preferential, everything, the way I work, but I dislike the idea that someone comes in because they've been hairdressing for 30 years, they can charge more. The client deems how much you're worth for me. And so it doesn't matter that you're 19, and if you're fully booked and you're kicking goals, for me, you can charge as much as someone who's been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We had the same system, and I think what's powerful about that career path is, or the bit that we need to make sure we do, that is visible and it's transparent and everybody knows and everyone's on the same playing field. It's outcome-based. Do it or you don't.
Well, I think, and I'm really good at analogies and sayings, but people lie, figures don't.
For sure.
And you know, so the number, so-and-so was going to rebook and they told me and this, and I know they're going to do, we do it weekly. So it goes into our Facebook group weekly. And I use a dashboard system where it's red is bad, orange is okay, green is good. Again, hairdressers were quite visual, and so we can see, and we have conversations around that. Weekly meetings, in our weekly staff meeting, I expect everyone to know what they're sitting on, where the opportunities are, and going. Because we're in a creative industry, but we're actually a business as well. So I think that's really important to understand. And the last thing I'm going to talk about, culture. So am I going too fast?
No, you're doing amazing.
Okay. And the last thing I would go on about culture really for me is, and you said people can't be you, but you also can't, people don't want the same things. Mm. So Eulerissa might want something out of the job different to me or to my wife or to your next staff. So if you treat everybody the same, that there's going to be an issue. So if you're hard on everybody, some people actually might be motivated by that, but probably 80% won't. Mm. If you're soft on that, you might 40% might be love it and actually go, oh, you know, it's really good. But then the people that need the hard are like, well, walk over you. So it's about understanding your team members, you know, and understanding that that you can't be the same for everyone. And which means sometimes you have to be a little bit of a chameleon and understanding your guys, you know. And we disprofile all of my stuff. So, and you can find free disprofiling stuff online. And it's a really useful tool to understand that what personality traits they take and type and what then they will work best with and how to manage them. And I know that sounds like a bit of manipulation. And I guess it is to a point, but you're doing it with everyone's best interest at heart, you know, because ultimately, if you're all working towards a goal, you're going to succeed. The salon's going to succeed better and they're going to succeed better. And if there is a goal and people are succeeding, that creates really positive attitudes in life. You know, I think it's really important in goals and stuff like that. I hope that makes sense.
Well said. 100%. I'm on your page. We have a similar system to DISC called Birds of a Different Feather. It's just a little bit more
simplified
language.
Peacock,
dove. Yeah.
Yes, I've done that.
Yeah.
Guess what I am?
I'm going to say a peacock with a dove or a hawk. Can't quite decide. Maybe both.
I am, and this is the one. So I'm all on the right hand side. So there's no dove in me, believe it or not. I know people. There's the odd little bit, but not really. But it's basically a hawk and peacock. Pretty high hawk and pretty high peacock. In that, I'm pretty much in that middle right there.
Nice. Yeah. And what about your wife then? What is she?
She's on the complete other side.
So she's a dove owl.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. And it's perfect. No wonder you're a yin and yang.
Yeah, and it works very well. You know, and
very good.
And I think that whether you use colours, profiling, or whether you use, you know, it's understanding that these people and why they do certain stuff. And
for sure. I think the smartest thing you can do as a business manager is to understand your people and match the person. And I think there's most of us, unless we learn that, we do it the opposite. We expect to just be able to be ourselves and expect the other person to understand us and where we're coming from and what we want. Whereas it actually needs to be flipped, I think. Still being yourself, still being authentic to yourself, that's not the point, but you need to match the style or the communication style of the other person.
I think you always need you, but the communication style, and it's the same that we talk about body language or when you come into a client. If a client is closed, you know, obviously you come in really open. So it's you're trying to, you know, you try and mirror, but it's also, you know, you both don't want to come in like this. You end up with an awful sort of fight. But I think understanding your team is super, super important. So from a cultural standpoint, understand your brand, number one. And what it stands for, and yours might not be education or it might not be things, but for us, you know, I think we're in the business of cutting and coloring hair, and so I want it to be done the best, right? And then it's understanding your team, you know, and how you can manage them. And some people will want a day off, some people just want praise, some people will want money. We try and do stuff like, so I've got people that are Tuesday to Friday hairdressers. I've got, you know, some people that want so it's not
one size fits all.
No, it really isn't. And I think that is the secret to, communication, but that is the secret to having a successful, and open, honest conversations around it. I mean, it's going slightly off track, but I think that in Australia, in America, obviously sweets are really big, right? In Australia, I don't think it will come in, and because of our safety net is so big that actually the head, and if when you explain that to your staff, that actually going off and doing it on your own isn't the be all and end all. Show them, and I really believe in transparency about everything I do, and so show them how much it costs and how much you earn and what your break-even point is and where you go. And actually, then they realize and go, look, I would love to give you more money, but it's not really there. The way we do it is there's lots of carrots dangled. So when I call it a minimum, not a target, because we're only making money when they hit that, and that's a minimum. And then when they go from there, the carrots start getting dangled. So then they start getting larger percentages, because then I think that's fair.
Yeah. And everybody's winning.
Yeah. So, but transparency around your business.
Sure. All right. You're as a business owner, what is a quote or a mantra or something that you live by? Please share.
Okay. I think I might've said it before, but the first one around culture is, Mel and I, so my wife and I, we're the only people in our business that aren't going anywhere. So, meaning that you know, someone, you know, I used to work for other people, you know, and I'm here now. So now it's our business. So understand that. So that's definitely something that we keep very serious about our business, knowing that our number one owner could leave tomorrow, and we've got lots of ex staff that we're very proud of, open their own salons and stuff, and you know, it's a part of business.
For sure.
My one, probably my largest thing is you can't teach attitude.
Mm.
And I guess this will follow into when I'm hiring. I hire slowly, I fire quickly. And really, you're as a, you know, trade testing and all that, but it's all around attitude, you know.
For sure.
If we can teach skills, we really can't teach attitude.
You can't get to the stuff under the iceberg, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. What's a resource that you can share that every salon owner needs, whether it's a book or a podcast? What do we need to be consuming?
Well, I can tell you what we don't need to be consuming, which is plastic, less meat.
Less alcohol.
I'm on dry July at the minute, so, I'm a pretty lefty on those sort of, you know, the whole, there's all these sort of stuff that all entrepreneurs or all business people have to read books and have to do this. I'm all about, when I'm in my business, being very present in my business, but when I'm out of my business, to be really present as a father, as a husband, enjoy time with the people I am. So I quite often read fantasy novels. If I am listening to podcasts, I think I'm listening to, my dad wrote a porno at the minute. It's a funny thing. It's not often, around business. I'm in a fortunate place of, I have lots of friends in the industry, and we do, you know, definitely quarterly dinners and coffees and beers, and they're friends that own salons. And I think that, hanging around like-minded individuals is really important. You know, my dad said it to me best, I think, is hang around winners, because the conversation is different. And that sort of stuff for me is really important. You know, to try and hang around people that have a similar mindset to you. Don't go with the drainers. Don't listen to the people that are always pointing out a problem. You know,
it's exhausting.
Oh God, I can't be asked. I really can't be asked. I think it, you know, there's enough problems in the world. Don't let, you know, focus on the good stuff, you know, and I think that's with your team as well. You know, I think if you focus on all the negative stuff, you won't have a team. Focus on the good, reinforce that, and work on the stuff that you can work on.
Steve, where can people find you, stalk you, check out your brand, give us your dub and your socials?
I am Stevie English on Instagram, which is my personal brand, which you will get a little bit more of the swearing, cheeky idiot that I am. Stevie English Hair is the salon, which is the hairstyles and creative stuff that we do. On Facebook, I'm Steve Coulthine. I do have Stevie English, but I hardly ever check it. So, you know, it's one of those things that it was a great idea at the time to be able to have everything, but, you know, I don't want to spend my whole life on social media. and I do feel that sometimes that is my other job. And then stevieenglish.com.au is our salon.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming back a second time. We'll have to have an update maybe in the future. And I really appreciate the time you've spent with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really mean this, that if anyone ever reaches out to me on any platform, I will always try and get back within 24 hours. And whether that's, and I do it from, you know, globally for Matrix, but I'll always get back with color things. I'll always get back. So if you're having a tough time around your business or around anything, I will do my best to help. I'm not a guidance counselor, and so it's only what Stevie says. It might not be the best advice, but I will always do my best to help. And just what you see is what you get. A spade's a spade.
Indeed. Thanks again.
Thanks, Larissa.
And that's a wrap for today. Thanks, Steve, for coming on the show yet again. I really appreciate it. Everything that Steve talks about and has chatted about today, I really do believe in. And I love his straightforward approach and attitude when it comes to owning a business and managing a team. I really love what he had to say about consistency and consistency being so key for a brand. It's so clear to me that this is something that Steve sticks to firmly with his own super successful brand. And it really would be hard for anyone to ignore this advice. So thanks, Steve, for joining me on this episode. So I'm super excited because we are now on Spotify. The podcast is on the Spotify. So if you prefer Spotify or you have an Android phone or you have friends who have been waiting for Android, let them know. I get so much feedback from salon owners who get a lot out of listening to this podcast. I really appreciate the feedback. I love the feedback. It gives me the energy to keep going and keep doing what I'm doing. And I would love for you to leave a review on the podcast because it really is the best way for this podcast to reach more people so that more salon owners like yourself can learn from these great stories and the great guests that I have on the show, and we can reach more people and impact more salon owners directly. So if you're listening from your phone, scroll right down to the bottom, write a review or tap on the stars. And I would love to hear the things that you get out of this, listening to this podcast. What action steps have you taken? How has it changed your life? I really would love to hear from you. So thanks again for tuning in today, and I will see you next time on the Salon Owners Collective Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.